back with you on the second hour. Don't forget Max Boltman, who is an outstanding hockey writer for The Athletic, will join us at 8:35. I had a friend of mine talking with me yesterday about philosophies of sports talk radio. I believe it's a discussion. I believe it's giving people information that they can use to digest and form what we would hope would be a collective informative opinion. I'm not here to tell you what should happen, what to think, or how to be. I'm here to have a good sports discussion, a dialogue. But sometimes that dialogue can be a disagreement. And that's okay too. I'm not going to sit here and claim to know everything, you guys. I'm going to use my experiences and my discussions with coaches and athletes, athletic directors in the collegiate ranks to tell you why I think the way I do. You don't have to think this way. You're an independent thinker. You're somebody who has two eyes. You're somebody who reads. You're somebody who listens. You get an idea, right? I'm not going to tell you I'm always right. I think it's a great way to host a sports radio show. I'm not going to get all angry at you all the time. It can be emotional, you and I. There's nothing wrong with that either. But I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you that this is the way it's supposed to be. I disagree about wanting to get a guy like Miguel Cabrera back out of retirement. I think most people would agree with that. Doesn't make us right, but oof. No thank you. Not now. No more. On the other hand, there are some things that you and I will definitely agree on. Absolutely. But I'm not going to sit here and always try to convince you to change your mind. Hopefully, you find the discussion informative. Our phone number is always open for you on anything that you might have on your mind. 866-838-4843. Mark's a really good example of that. First thing this morning. Had no intention going to NBA, NBA draft, or certain situations that bring up the NBA in terms of talent. But it kicked off a really good discussion. Max Boltman will join us 8:35 on X's and Bros. And we hope you can stick around and listen, because it's fun stuff. Also, the NFL draft is next week. It's a week from today. I'm going to be up at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. And I'll be doing the show Friday morning from Ascend. And I can't wait for that. First of all, I love Soaring Eagle Casino Resort. It's flipping gorgeous. Spotless. Clean. And I love the people up there. But I'm also loving the fact that Herman Moore and a lot of his friends are going to be up there for a Thursday night draft party. So I will be part of that and looking forward to it. Ben, looking forward to the texts as well. I know you got some. They've been sticking around for a while, and I appreciate your patience. But we had some good sports discussion already in that first hour.
Right.
I assume these texts coming up will help us jumpstart the second hour as well. What do you got for us?
What can you tell us about A.J. Hinch? I look at him as the opposite of Dan Campbell and Jim Leland. These guys motivated players through the media for the most part. I like AJ a lot, but sometimes he seems too calm at the wheel. My only concern would be the players play calm at the wheel if that's what they know. And that's from Freddie.
All right. What can I tell you about AJ Hinch? I think he's arguably the best communicator of a coach I've been around. Okay. I think his demeanor is what is necessary in today's Major League Baseball. You cannot compare a man who has to talk to players over 162 times or 162 games to a man who talks to players for 17. Now, the comeback would be this. Well, Dan Campbell is talking to these guys every day because of practice. Well, Monday, Tuesdays they have off. And going over film sessions. And it's not always Dan Campbell. It's a lot of position coaches, too. So he's talking to them quite a bit. But baseball, as you know, is an everyday grind. A.J. Hinch is at the ballpark for a 7 o'clock first pitch, a 7:05 first pitch. He is always on the first bus, which is noon. He's there at minimum of 7 to 6.5 hours before the game. And then after, every single day. He goes over, I mean, it's constant. Because I've been in his office numerous times when this is happening. He's going over scouting reports. He's going over trends for his team. He's looking at possible lineups. He will go up on his whiteboard and grab a marker, and he'll explain why he's going over, why he has certain guys in certain positions in the lineup. Lefty, lefty, righty, righty. And then what he expects the other manager to do with his bullpen. He is constantly thinking 4 to 5 innings down the road. That's not unique. Dave Roberts does it with the Dodgers too. I'm just telling you what he's doing. The demeanor thing, the energy thing. Jim Leland was the same way. Just because Jim Leland went off in the media once in a while doesn't mean that he's doing that to players all the time. There are famous pieces of it. Famous clips of Jim Leland getting in Barry Bonds' grill. It's great. Famous conversation. Jim Leland with Pudge Rodriguez here in Detroit. Absolutely. Yeah, perfect. But there are plenty of calm moments from Jim Leland that allowed him to be successful too. You don't think he's screaming at guys 162 games a year, do you? You have moments. A.J. Hinch has moments. There's no doubt about that. There's also times where he's extremely honest with guys. This is why I'm sending you down. This is what you must do better. There was a player, I'm not going to say who it is, but there was a player who said to him, I got to get my at-bats. He's like, what do you mean you get your, because he gave him a day off. What do you mean you got to get your at-bats? You're batting 230, and you're second on the team in at-bats. Another player said to him one time, if you're not going to play me, you guys got to get me out of here. He's like, nobody wants you. You're a first-string outfielder. You're an everyday player for one team and one team only. It's this team. Where do you think you're going? Those are frank, in-your-face, poignant discussions. Just because you see him on a television clip or on his press conference where he's had a chance to decompress doesn't mean he's like that all the time. We love Dan Campbell. Love the emotion. Love the passion. You're getting Dan Campbell after a game in which they've used an entire week to prepare for. You're getting A.J. Hinch after a game, followed by a game, followed by another game, previewing another game. It's game, 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 game all the time. I think there's a huge difference. We'll get more into that on the other side because it's a really good conversation, and I enjoy it. 866-838-4843. This is X's and Bros across the great state of Michigan. Stay with us.
Huge here with a reminder that on Thursday, April 25th, I'll be in Detroit for the NFL Draft. I'll be broadcasting live 3 until 6 from the world-famous Caucus Club as they prepare for the private NFL VIP party with Bull Rush Sports Management and certified NFL PA agent David Gregory. We'll be joined by Josh Garvey and his team from Dorn Mayhew. Matt Golden, the CEO at the Tullymore Golf Resort, will check in. And also our friends from Copper Craft Distillery. Be listening for your chance to win a VIP bracelet to get in to this private NFL draft night bash at the Caucus Club in downtown Detroit, less than a half mile from the NFL draft stage. It's being presented by the Michigan Sports Network and David Gregory and Bull Rush Sports Management. Be listening to The Huge Show for your chance to win a VIP bracelet to the huge NFL draft watch party Thursday, April 25th. 25th in Detroit.
There's a new player in town. Hi, I'm Herman Moore, Lions All-Pro wide receiver, and I'm talking about Eagle Casino and Sports, the real money mobile casino. It's so easy to play. You can go from wager to winner to wallet just like that.
Sign up now and we'll match your deposit up to $1,500. Or you can get a risk-free bet up to $1,000.
Eagle Casino and Sports. Made in Michigan. Made for Michigan.
Must be 21 or older in Michigan to play.
Huge here for Van Andel Institute Purple Community. Now, they're a grassroots fundraising network powered by the volunteers who support VAI's mission to improve health now and in the future. Learn more at purplecommunity.org. Coming up later today at 3 on The Huge Show on the Michigan Sports Network, I'll deliver huge opinions on everything you're talking about.
X's and Bros throughout the great state of Michigan every Monday through Friday from 6 until 9. Phone number is 866-838-4843. The text is, you text Sports Radio to 21,000 and then get involved in the conversation. Wherever it is you may be, you could be in Flint on WTRX Sports Extra 1330 AM. Glad we're there. Same in Cadillac, WKAD, the ticket 93.7 FM. In Grayling and Gaylord up north, it's Up North Sports Radio on WGRY 101.1 FM. The Tri-City area, Midland, Saginaw, and Bay City, WLUN 100.9 FM, The Mitt. They're on board with X's and Bros. Same with Petoskey and Charlevoix, WMBN 104.7 FM and 1340 AM, The Ticket, Northern Michigan. The Ticket in Traverse City, WKAD 93.7, and of course, The Game. You got it rolling in Grand Rapids on WMAX 96.1 FM. Bill Simonson, The Huge Show, on many of those same great station affiliates, Monday through Friday from 3 until 6. He will be, a week from today, he will be at the Caucus Club in downtown Detroit, which is about a half mile away from the draft itself outside of Ford Field. I will be up north at Soaring Eagle Casino Resort. We're both envious of one another. We wish we could be in two places at the same time. Love to have Billy up with us at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort, which he has been for the last number of years. And I wouldn't mind being at the Caucus Club either. I wish I could be in both places, but you can't. So I'm fortunate I'll be up at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort a week from today. Herman Moore's got a draft party there on Thursday night at Ascend. And then I will be doing this show from that location Friday morning to talk about the draft, and excited to do it and excited to be a part of it with you here on X's and Bros. Ben, more texts for us.
Yeah.
Let's get to those. Cause we were, and before you do, just, I mean, Freddie had texted us about AJ Hinch, wanted the emotion that he felt he saw with Jim Leland and Dan Campbell. Just don't think you're getting that. Most managers, look, is there emotion when you're arguing balls and strikes? Absolutely. Was 2 years ago when they were playing the Chicago White Sox and there were, you know, Tony La Russa was upset and he was out there and arguing about, so I forget if it was a pitch or if it was a slide, and A.J. Hinch is saying, get the blank out of here. Get the blank back in your dugout. Was that enough emotion for you? Was it enough emotion when he's out there arguing certain things with Angel Hernandez? Calling balls and strikes? Who's the best manager in baseball? Who do you think is the best skipper out there? I mean, Dusty Baker's not a real emotional guy. I know he's not there anymore. I'm just saying, last year, a guy who takes them there. Bruce Bochy's not a real emotional guy. He just won a world championship with Texas. Dave Roberts is considered a pretty damn good manager. Is he a really emotional guy? Is Brian Snitker of Atlanta a real emotional guy? Baseball has changed so drastically with so many of the rules and because of the sensitivity of umpires. Think about it for a second. Basketball refs take an awful lot. Eventually, they'll tee you up, especially if you're Draymond Green, because you say something stupid. But eventually, they'll tee you up. Absolutely. However, they let players express themselves and coaches. There's a line that those guys will cross, and then they get teed up. But you understand my point. Nobody takes more crap than NHL referees. Camera goes to a coach. You can read the lips. You can't always tell what a player might be saying. Players on the ice, there's going to be a lot of beeping from the production truck when players are talking on the ice. And when you hear or see the words coming from a coach's mouth, those referees take a lot of bunk. NFL happens all the time. Those guys are talking to referees. Baseball umpires don't have the same tolerance. I always thought what made part of the game entertaining, just part of it, was the arguments between managers and or players and umpires, specifically home plate umpires. That's kind of gone by the wayside. So you don't get to see the personalities slash tempers of major league managers as much. There's no Bobby Cox out there. There's no Earl Reavers. You don't see that stuff. You may see it in the minor leagues a little bit. You may see it on social media with a guy who's in the independent league, but you're not seeing major league managers do what Hal McCray did when he was the manager of the Kansas City Royals, or Lloyd McClendon when he was the manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates. You don't see that any longer. So how do you judge whether or not a guy is quote-unquote motivating somebody? You base it on results, don't you? Yes. But you also are looking at your team on a regular basis. That's what you're doing. Aaron Boone is a pretty calm guy for the most part. He's actually one of those guys you really enjoy talking to. His team's on a roll. They're 13-6. Is he? I think they're 13-6. Is he one of those guys? Yeah, they're 13-6. Is he one of those guys who's super emotional? Oh, because he went to an umpire, was it a year ago or 2 years ago, and say, my guys are savages? Come on. They've kind of forced to reel you in. I think Kevin Cash is a great manager. How often do you see him going nuts? We see our guy every day. I stress this in our sports discussion regularly. We see our players, our coaches, our managers, what our general manager is or isn't doing on a regular basis. We hold them to a higher standard. We should. But we don't always notice what another manager, coach, general manager, or player is doing. Here's oftentimes the example I use. There's a couple. You ready? Okay. One is Kevin Cash. He pulled Blake Snell after about 5 2/3, was it a 6 1/3 innings? I forget exactly the number. He pulled him early in a World Series game. People crucified him, and Tampa lost the game. I remind people, Dave Martinez did the same thing the year before, but it worked out for him when he pulled Steven Strasburg in a Washington win, and they won the World Series. Nobody remembered because they won the game. You remember if you lose the game. Happens all the time. All the time. John Beilein didn't guard the inbound pass. Wisconsin gets it in, and Ben Brust makes one from half court. Why didn't he guard the inbound pass? Happens quite a bit. Mike Krzyzewski's done it. Others have done it in their careers. We remember it because you lost the game. And then the emotional part of it is, I use Tommy Amaker as an example. I was the play-by-play voice of Michigan basketball, and Tommy Amaker was in Ann Arbor. I would watch him in practice. He would get after guys, and I mean get after them. But during the game, he wouldn't. During the game, he was much calmer. So people thought he wasn't emotional. I said, you couldn't be further from the truth. Absolutely, he was emotional. You just got to pick and choose. And just because you're seeing him on camera every once in a while and he's not, doesn't mean that he isn't overall. Phone number is 866-838-4843. Good to have you on board on this Thursday. This is X and Bros across the great state of Michigan. We'll be back.
Huge here for the Michigan High School Athletic Association. You can stay up to date on the latest from Lansing 24/7 at MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook. The latest news, press releases, and stories connected to every high school in the state of Michigan, available for you 24/7 from the Michigan High School Athletic Association. Log on to MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook. And if you're looking for archived boys and girls high school sports, MHSAA.com. TV. That's MHSAA.TV. 24/7, everything you need to know about high school sports in Michigan. Log on to MHSAA.com.
We're teeing off our 10th year at the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.
Five after the hour on this Thursday edition of X's and Pros. An hour from now, exactly 1 hour from now, Max Baltman of The Athletic will join us, and we will talk about the season wrap-up of the Red Wings. Tied for the second wild card, but tiebreaker went to the Washington Capitals, so they will open up with the New York Rangers. Where do the Red Wings go from here? Max will join us, and looking forward to that conversation about an hour from now. A week from today is the NFL Draft in Detroit. I will be at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort for a Friday morning show and a Thursday night draft party up there. Really looking forward to that. They do it right. They put on a fantastic party, a fantastic show. You know, the thing that I didn't realize until you hear some of our promos on the Michigan Sports Network, Motley Crue's coming to Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. Yeah. You want to see that? For sure. I don't care how old they are. I definitely see that. Our text line, Sports Radio, to 21,000. I know it's not for everybody. I get it. It's okay. Not everybody's into that kind of music. 866-838-4843. I can't get enough of it, though. We started earlier this morning. Tigers a loser yesterday to Texas. The two teams wrap up their four-game set at Comerica Park later on this afternoon. Kenta Maeda throws for Detroit. Jack Leiter throws for Texas. he makes his major league debut. Nikita Kucherov became the second player this season with 100 assists. The other is Connor McDavid. He had a goal and an assist in Tampa's win over Toronto. Auston Matthews did not get number 70. Still, 69 is pretty damn good. And Nikita Kucherov had the most points of anybody in the league. I said earlier, good luck trying to figure out who is going to win the Hart Trophy. I'm going to ask Max Bultman that of The Athletic when he joins us at 8:35. Who is the Hart Trophy winner? Is it Kucherov? Is it McDavid? Is it MacKinnon? Is it Matthews? It's just those four guys, right? I would think so. Quinn Hughes has had a great year. Let's not get back into that. NBA last night, winners were Chicago over Atlanta behind Colby White's career-high 42, and Philadelphia, a winner by a point over Miami, thanks to Joel Embiid's double-double. The Tigers are concerning a little bit, even though we're not even 20 games in. You play 9% of the games, there's no reason to judge yet. But what you can do is give some facts. What was your big concern for the Tigers coming into the season? Offense, right? I don't know how many of you thought, they picked up Mark Canha, added Gio Urshela. A healthy Riley Green would help. Colt Keith, we know he can hit, at least at the minor league level. And he can. It's just a hell of an adjustment. It's really hard in the majors. It's super hard. Guys dot their pitches a lot sharper. The breaks are a lot sharper. The fastball has better late life. Guys set you up, not just in an at-bat, but from inning to inning. They might see you in the first, throw you certain pitches, knowing they're going to get you in the fifth, and pitch you completely differently. It's hard, especially for a guy like Colt Keith, who never experienced it at the collegiate level because he came right from high school. I don't worry about him. I don't care how many times they send him down this year. I think he's going to be all right. I think he has proven he can hit minor league pitching. Doesn't always translate. But a guy isn't that efficient, that good, have that good of an eye, and already he's got a decent eye, and be a complete failure. I think he's going to be fine eventually. That doesn't mean that your entire team doesn't have just a wee bit concern. Here's what it is. 64 runs. Only Minnesota, Oakland, and Chicago have fewer. A .213 batting average. Big deal. Batting average can be overrated. But Oakland, Chicago, Minnesota are the only teams with worst. Here are the two that are concerning. OBP, on base percentage. Only Minnesota, Miami, Oakland, and Chicago are worse. And OPS, on base plus slugging. Only Oakland, Minnesota, Miami, and Chicago are worse. That's in all of baseball. That's not the American League, obviously, by throwing in Miami. Slugging is big, too. Really important to have slug, right? You got to be able to find the extra base hits, have some power. Only Miami and Chicago have a worse slugging percentage. It's early. I'm not panicking. Just giving you numbers. Things you want to monitor moving forward. Because we mentioned earlier about the errors. Detroit had three errors yesterday. And I'm sure a lot of people were overreacting to that. I'm not saying they're a really good defensive team. Okay? No. But I do believe, you know, when you are not very gifted offensively, and that has been proven so far, you can't afford to be bad defensively. That remains to be seen. The other thing, and again, this can be slightly misleading, because look, the Dodgers and the Red Sox lead their division. Pittsburgh's been a nice surprise early on. Dodgers have a massive payroll. Cincinnati was a good team a year ago. All those teams have struck out more than the Tigers, but the Tigers are a top 10 strikeout team so far. Some slight concerns. All right, back to the text line. You can text us, Sports Radio, to 21,000. Ben, what do you have for us?
Yeah, this one is back to the A.J. Hinch discussion from last segment. Okay. In fairness, I was just asking about A.J. Hinch. I don't think this town knows him well since they have only lost since he has been here. Plus, in my opinion, Avila gets zero credit for hiring him and Garden hire.
Yeah. Why do we want to give Al Avila credit for hiring Garden hire? I'm not sure I follow that. Ron Gardenhire is a good guy. It was about time for him. I don't know why I have to give Al Avila credit for hiring Ron Gardenhire, number one. Number two, hiring AJ Hinch was a risk. I think he's a really good manager, but it was a risk, and it was a risk because, you know, he's coming off a suspension. I think that was more Chris Ilitch than anything else. And with all due respect, general managers aren't getting credit for hiring managers who don't win. Why would they? I think he's a good manager. I really do. I think he's a really good manager. I think Ron Gardenhire was a good manager, too. There was no talent there. I don't understand why Al Avila is, you feel like he deserves credit for hiring two guys who haven't won yet, haven't had winning seasons. I'm confused at that. As far as the team or the town not knowing AJ Hinch because he hasn't won, do you have to win in order to know somebody? I don't know. I really don't. I think you can know somebody without it. You probably don't know them, their happy side quite as much. who would? I got to be honest with you. Back in the day, and I don't know who texted that, but did we really know Chuck Daly? Did you know Jacques Demers? How well do you think we knew Scotty Bowman? And then I would ask, how much does it matter? I think it matters to fans to a certain extent, but I mean, if you win, I think you can look past all their deficiencies. Things like that. I promise you, you didn't know Scotty Bowman. He was kind of an enigma. Our phone number is 866-838-4843. Any other texts right now, Ben, that we need to get to?
Yeah, we got one about the Pistons. Okay. So, yeah, any chance the Pistons draft the Connecticut center with their first pick?
Yeah, Klingon?
Yeah, I think the center will come back within 5 years. Give me Mark Eaton.
Give you Mark Eaton. He thinks Klingon is similar to Mark Eaton. Yeah, I don't think they're similar players. Mark Eaton was not nearly as talented with the basketball in his hands. Klingon can actually, do a crossover here or there, take the ball at the elbow, front the basket, deck it, spin a little bit. I think he's a little bit better in that regard. Not as gifted a shot blocker, obviously. He has a better outside shot than Mark Eaton. It was a long time ago. Is the center coming back is what intrigues me most about that text. He thinks the center is coming back. I don't know what would give you that belief, especially when you see such tall players in the NBA today having such success with their outside shots, whoever it may be. I think they're looking for, this is a guess, an educated guess, I think more and more basketball teams are in search of the stretch five. We went from the combo three to the stretch four to the stretch five. I don't know why you'd think the traditional, if I may use the word, the traditional center is coming back. Look, everybody would love to have a scorer. He's not great defensively, but a scorer like Luka Doncic. Right? I'd take him in a second. He's 6'7". He's more of a three, right? How do you view Giannis Antetokounmpo? Do you view him as a center? As a stretch four? I don't even think we need to put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We don't need to label basketball players with the numbers like we used to. Well, who's your one? Isaiah Thomas. The two is Joe Dumars. Who's the three? Dennis Rodman. Who's the four? Lambeer or Mahorn or whatever. Okay? I don't think teams are going back to Bill Cartwright. They're just not. I think we've seen it time and time again where they're looking for a Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's 6'11", 240 pounds. He can handle the ball at the point. He can guard probably 2 through 5. In his prime, he could guard 1 through 5. He can post up. He can kill you with the outside shot. And he can deck it and drive it. That's a complete player. Nikola Jokic is probably as close to a traditional, what body-wise, center as there used to be. He's 6'11", 7 feet, 284 pounds. Here's the difference. He averages 9 assists a game. He's a double-double guy. He's basically a triple-double guy. He's amazing. But he's not super quick. Jason Tatum plays the center for Boston, doesn't he? Or am I wrong there? And he's 6'8". Maybe he plays the four. But 6'8 back in the day used to be a small forward. Today, it's 3, 4, 5. Doesn't really matter. I'm a big Anthony Davis believer. I think he's a really good player. He's viewed as a center, correct? I believe so. I mean, teams don't even have quote-unquote traditional centers. Anthony Davis, 6'10", 253. You like him? You're damn right you do. Give me 23 points and 12 boards every single day. I got to be honest with you. I mean, I don't know how many true centers there are any longer. I guess, I don't know. Let me ask you this. We talked about this earlier on the show. Is Victor Wembanyama a center? At 7'4", 210, I would think so. Do you think he plays like one? Hell no. No way. And it has nothing to do with the 21.5 points, 10.5 rebounds, or whatever it is, and what, 3.5 blocks, maybe 4 blocks, whatever that he gets per game. It has to do with his three-point shooting. He shoots 33% from deep. Would you take that? That's better than a lot of guards. Hell yeah, you would. And he's only 19. But he's viewed as a center. Karl Anthony Towns viewed as a center. There's not that many. I don't see the center position coming back. Victor Wembanyama, Nikola Jokic, Bam Adebayo. That'd be a good center. I think the days of, you know, the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, we're going way back now. The Kareem Abdul-Jabbars of the world are no longer. Teams want their bigs to be able to stretch the floor. Teams want their bigs to be able to shoot it from deep. They want to pull big guys out when they're guarding them. That's why more and more people are searching for the latest Dirk Nowitzki. One of my favorite players ever was Hakeem Olajuwon. Now, he was, for sure, he was a center. His footwork was magical. Not just for a big guy, but for any type of player, no matter what their position would be. I thought he was fantastic. and he's a Hall of Fame player. But I don't look at him as a traditional center, you know? So it's a good conversation, and it's a really good text. I just don't think the next Mark Eaton is out there, and that's why we go back to a comment earlier when someone called in about some basketball discussion and Zach Edey. That's why I don't think he will be highly sought after. Now, he might be a mid-first-round pick, which is hard to believe. He's the first time, two-time National Player of the Year since Ralph Sampson. And if you're too young to remember who Ralph Sampson was, I get it. Okay? But for those of us who remember him at Virginia as a dominant player, and then as a draft pick of the Houston Rockets, and the first overall selection back in 1983, you figure he's going to be off and running as one of the best players of all time. He is a Hall of Famer. Now, it's a basketball Hall of Famer. He's not there for the NBA. It's because of what he did at the collegiate level, too. And he was Rookie of the Year. He was a four-time All-Star. But he wasn't the dominant player, at least in my mind, in my eyes. He wasn't the dominant player I thought he was going to be. In his career, he averaged 15.5 points and close to 9 rebounds per game. Which is, you know, for a guy who is 7'4", 230 pounds, you would have thought would have been a little bit more than that. Max Bultman will join us. He of The Athletic joins us at 8:35 to talk Red Wings hockey, where they move forward, and then some. We'll talk about that at the bottom of the hour when we come back for the final hour of X's and Bros here on the Michigan Sports Network across the great state of Michigan.
Imagine this. Winning big at Soaring Eagle. The food district is now open. There's something for everyone. From Bubba Coo's Burritos to Bonanno's New York Pizza Kitchen to Guy Fieri's Chicken and Ike's Lovin' Sandwiches. Savor every delicious flavor at the all-new food district. Only at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. Your getaway. Reimagine. Visit SoaringEagleCasino.com for complete rules and details.
Huge here with a special thank you to three of our partners who are helping bring the 313 NFL Draft Party on Thursday, April 25th to life in downtown Detroit. Josh Garvey and the team at Dorn Mayhew, one of the world's top accounting, CPA, and business firms. Josh is a great man, and that company is doing great things. Josh heads up the GR office. Also, Matt Golden, the CEO of the Tullymore Golf Resort in Canadian Lakes, Michigan. They're set to open up both courses at the end of the month, and you can book a stay-and-play package. Or if you want to take care of business and mix in a little pleasure on the golf course, great food, beverages, go to TullymoreGolf.com. That is TullymoreGolf.com. Book your stay-and-play package or schedule your next event less than an hour north of GR. And also to the team at Coppercraft Distillery. They're the home of Honolulu Blue. If you're a Lions fan, you need to be drinking Honolulu Blue. Thanks for your help with the 313 Draft Party.
We're teeing off our 10th year. At the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.